Reverend Joseph Garner.
Enough to know that some people are not here this morning because they're getting ready for the Super Bowl. But I wish I could just get two or three folk who realize that the Super Bowl can't do nothing for your soul. I really would rather have Jesus. Come on, if you really would rather have him, come on. I'd rather have him. Oh, yeah. I'd rather have him than silver or gold. God bless you, choir. God bless you, youth choir. Amen. We thank God for our music ministry. We give God the praise. Well, it's giving time. And we're going to see, amen, how many of you really would rather have Jesus. Chapter 3. Remain standing. If you can, Habakkuk chapter 3. Those of you who were here last Sunday, you will recall that this is exactly where we were on last Sunday. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And I held you a long time last Sunday. I just got excited. Amen. And the truth should be told, I didn't finish the sermon last Sunday. So what I'm going to do this morning, since I held you long last week, I'm going to hold you just for a little while today and give you the closing of this message, A Yet Praise. Amen. A Yet Praise, part two. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, it reads, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the Lord, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's going to tell us the rest of the story. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Yet praise. Part two. Amen. On last Sunday, thank you, ushers, we shared with you how important it is as people of God to develop a yet praise. Amen. We shared with you historically how in this book of Habakkuk, it really starts off with the people of God, the prophet of God, complaining. Amen. Amen. Talking about all that was wrong. But by the end of the story, by the end of the book, amen, we find that the people of God are celebrating. And so they move from complaint to celebration. And we told you last Sunday that in between the complaints and the celebration was communication. In other words, the only way to get from a complaining spirit and a negative spirit and a negative attitude is you have to communicate with God. Amen. You've got to develop a prayer life. And we say so often in the church that prayer is not a monologue. It is a dialogue. Amen. You know, I do know a few folk who, when you're talking to them on the phone or wherever, amen, you sometimes I find that I'm just a listener. Amen. Y'all know anybody like that? That they hold up the whole conversation. They do all the talking, and we say this, we can't get a word in edgewise. And some of us treat God like that. Amen. We get on our knees and we have a talk with God. We tell him about all of our problems and all of our trials and all of our troubles. Amen. All this mess we've gotten ourselves into. And then we crawl in the bed and go to sleep. But real, true communication involves a dialogue. It means that not just one party is talking, but both people are talking and listening. And so if we are going to do like the people of God in our text and move from a spirit of negativity, a spirit of complaint, a spirit of murmuring to a spirit of celebration, then we need to spend some real solid time talking to God, but not just talking to him, also listening to him. For the whole part of our fall Bible study, we dealt with that topic, amen, learning to listen to God, how important it is to hear what God has to say to you. Is there anybody in here today who will testify along with your pastor that I would not have made it as far as I've made it or as well as I've made it if I did not get a word from God? He's been talking to me. Come on. Come on, how many of you can say that he's been talking to me? Woo. I don't know about y'all, but I would be depressed every day if God didn't speak some encouraging words into my heart and into my spirit. See, because now in actuality, as believers, as a family of believers, we ought to exhort one another. We ought to encourage one another. But I don't know what it is about church folks. Sometimes we're the most difficult people to deal with. And sometimes church folk, amen, are the very ones who will kick you when you fall. When you need an encouraging word, amen, they'll look at you like you deserve what's happening to you. You deserve what you're going through. Amen. Forgetting that, amen, what you're going through today, if you're not careful, amen, it could be you tomorrow. But when you can't talk to nobody else, you can talk to God. I say, when you can't talk, when you can't get an encouraging word from anybody else, you can get an encouraging word from the Lord. Do I have a witness here today? And so even though this book starts out with complaint and negativity, it ends up with celebration because of the communication that's going on with God. Now, we told you that of all of the faith passages in the Bible, this particular passage in the minds of many theologians is by far the greatest. As a matter of fact, this verse is called an inimitable statement of faith because it reaffirms the fact that the real genius of faith lies in its ability to stand up in the midst of struggle. See, my brothers and sisters, if we're going to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, we've got to learn how to develop the ability to be able to praise God even when things aren't going well. Amen. On the basis of the definition of praise, praise is what we offer to God because of what he's done. That's right. And we told you last week that a lot of us know about because of praise, but we don't have yet praise. And I also told you that there ain't nothing wrong with because of praise. I said there's nothing wrong with because of praise. You ought to praise him because of what he's done. You ought to praise him because of how good he's been. As a matter of fact, shame on you if you don't tell God, amen, thank you for being good to you. And see, a lot of folk come in here with these halos on their heads, and they've gone, you know, gotten a few degrees behind their name and all of that, and so they have changed their shout into, you know, a more, you know, amen. They used to say, amen. But now them degrees, you know, they go, amen. Under your breath. But everybody in here ought to have a because of praise. Come on, come on, come on. You ain't looking good, amen, just because of Dove soap. You ain't looking good just because of all of, what is it, all of Olakin? Amen. Amen. God has been good to you. I said God has been good to you. And shame on you if you can't come into his presence. Now, he's everywhere. But we do recognize that when we come into the sanctuary, the psalmist said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. That tells me, amen, that when I come into the sanctuary of the Most High God, I ought to be reminiscing on some stuff he's done for me. And y'all, I don't know about you, but when I think about, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, and watch this, all the stuff he's done for me, wait, I ain't finished yet, in spite of me. So the only way you can come in here and fold your arms and cross your legs and not ever say anything is because you somehow have duped yourself into believing that you deserve all of the blessings. You deserve him waking you up this morning. No, you don't. Amen. No, you don't. Come on. Come on. Just can we have a reality check right here? Just think about some of the stuff you have done. So a lot of us don't get in the praise because we come in here thinking about what everybody else did. We experts, amen, on what she did, on what he did, where he went, where she went. Amen. We know everybody's business. And with our selective memories, we forget the dirt that we have done. The real praisers, that's what this yet praise is all about. Amen. To thank God for because of praise, but what we want to get you to understand is that as a believer, you ought to have a yet praise. And so the text says that even when the bottom is falling out, even when the bills are not paid. Watch this. Not only are they not paid, you don't know how they're going to get paid. You got to yet praise. Don't act like you ain't never been there. Don't act like you've never been there. Amen. Where you didn't know how that bill was going to get paid. But is there anybody up in here this morning who will testify that when you turn that thing over to Jesus, you don't know how he's going to work it out, but tell your neighbor, he will work it out. Amen. And so, yet praise says that even though everything is wrong, Habakkuk tells us the reality of the situation. Look at it again. The people were going through a season of unfulfilled expectations because they expected the crops to come through and produce. They expected the sheep and the cattle to flourish. They were in a season when there were no visible signs that God was on their side. And so they had to learn how to praise God anyhow. That's what a yet praise is all about. And I told you the meaning of the words rejoice and will joy in the original language, in the Hebrew, alaz, A-L-A-Z, is the Hebrew word for rejoice. And we told you that it means what? Jump for joy. And we told you that will joy in this text literally means to spin around under the influence of violent emotion. In other words, when I think about something here, what is it that I'm thinking about? What is it that I'm focusing on that allows me to give God a yet praise? Well, that's what I want to show you. The reason the people of God in our text were able to give God a yet praise is because, number one, they focused on the person of the Lord. A yet praise. A yet praise gives God the glory even when all hell is breaking loose in your life. A yet praise magnifies God even when you see no evidence of his favor. Habakkuk, you have to explain to me the reasons for your reaction. How were you able to muster up a yet praise? Amen. How can you muster up a yet praise when life is crazy? 3 points and I'm out of here. We're out of here. Amen. Amen. Number one, because his focus was on the person of the Lord. Look at the text. He says, I will rejoice, what? In the Lord. I will joy where? In the God of my salvation. And y'all, in the Lord means that the Lord is the object of his praise. And in the Lord is the location for his praise. I want that to marinate. I want you to think about it. Amen, amen, amen. Let me say it one more time. Amen. In the Lord means that the Lord is the object of his praise. But not only is in the Lord the object of his praise, in the Lord is the location for his praise. Oh my, let me help you. Habakkuk says, I know that the fig tree is not blossoming. I know that the vines are producing no grapes. I know that the olive crops have failed. I know the fields aren't yielding any food. I know there are no sheep in the pen. I know there are no cattle in the stalls, but I ain't focusing on that. So that's why some of you don't have any joy. Because you're only focusing on what's wrong. You're only focusing on the negative. You're only focusing on the pain in your body, the sickness, and the bad report that you've gotten. I double dare you, amen, instead of focusing on what's wrong, focus on God. Do I have any witnesses here? Focus on him. See, you might not be able to find a reason to praise and worship anything else, but you can always look toward the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. Tell your neighbor, seasons change, but God don't. Doesn't. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. If the prophet had been rejoicing because of figs and olives, then his reason for rejoicing was now over. But Habakkuk was not focusing on the figs. He was focusing on the giver of the figs. In the Lord means that Habakkuk's trouble is not the only thing that he is in. See, some of us get so obsessed with the trouble that we're in, the mess that we're in, the confusion that we're in. But if you could ever wake up and realize that you're not just in trouble, you're supposed to be in the Lord. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. I'm in the Lord. I'm in the Lord. That's why I don't let people bother me. I don't let them bother me with what they say and what they think. Amen. Because I realize that, yeah, you're talking about me, but what where you're messing up is I'm in the Lord. That's why the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do I have a witness here today? I'm in the Lord. That's why I can smile even with sorrow all around, because I'm in the Lord. That's why when my money is funny and my change is strange, I can still have joy because I'm in the Lord. And is there anybody here today who has found out that when you're in the Lord, no matter what's happening around you, if you're in Him, you can have a yet praise? Because you know that whatever's happening around you, He can handle it. Whatever folk are saying, He can handle it. Whatever the economy is doing, He can handle it. I'm not just in a bad economy. I'm in the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. When you're in Christ, you're always in more than the situation you're in. So you're not just in trouble, but you're also in the Lord. Thus, you can offer a yet praise because his focus was on the person of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, focus on the person of the Lord. But not only that, secondly, Habakkuk was able to give a yet praise because he was leaning on the power of the Lord. Look at what he says. He says, the Lord God is my strength. See, some of y'all missed it. He does not say, the Lord gives me strength. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. The Lord actually, ooh, thank you, Jesus, became in Habakkuk what he could not be himself. So even when he did not feel like praising God, the Lord actually became his strength to worship. I'm not going to call her name because she's in the room and she'll get mad at me, but there's a member of our church. A couple of Sundays ago, I preached, and I guess I preached really hard. Amen. I preached really hard, and she came by the office, and she said, Pastor, you all right? Is everything all right? You preached so hard today. Is something wrong? I said, can I be very honest with you? And I told her, I said, you have no idea how tired I am in my flesh. I said, you have absolutely no idea, amen, how when I came to church this morning, amen, I was even thinking about telling one of the other ministers, you got it today, amen, because I don't feel like preaching. But as the preaching moment got a little closer, I was sitting right here, and I said, Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't gonna happen up in here. And you know what I found out? I found out that if you let the Lord do it, if you let the Lord be your strength. Do I have a witness here? I know I'm not the only one in here. There are some other witnesses. You know you didn't feel like coming to church. You didn't feel like praising God. You didn't feel like being bothered with nobody. But you came on anyhow, and you let the Lord have his way. Is there anybody here today who knows that if you let the Lord have his way, he'll make it all right? When you don't feel like raising your hands in praise, God will do it for you. When you feel like quitting, God will actually be your strength. What God wants you to have, God becomes. You see, God doesn't risk, watch this, he doesn't risk giving you strength. He becomes your strength. That's how you're able to make it when you feel like you can go no farther. God becomes what you need in order for you to make it. That's why the old folk used to say stuff like, he'll be a mother for you. The old folk used to say stuff like, he'll be a father for you. He'll be a doctor in the sick room. He'll be a lawyer in the... Is there anybody here who has discovered, like Habakkuk, that the Lord won't just give you power, but that he will be your power? And then finally, not only was he able to develop a yet praise, because he was leaning on the power of the Lord. Amen. Not only was he able to develop a yet praise, because he was focused on the person of the Lord. But I come by to tell you that finally Habakkuk was able to come up with a yet praise because he was trusting in the provision of the Lord. What was God providing for him? Well, when you read the text says that he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And if you don't read it right, you'll miss it. You got to understand that the food had run out. You've got to understand that the water had run out. You've got to understand that the bottom had dropped out. But Habakkuk says, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. In other words, he was saying, I have a future. It looks like I ain't gonna make it. It looks like I cannot take it. But I hear God saying that if you trust in me, I will give you a tomorrow. And is there anybody here today who a few years ago or a few months ago, somebody told you that you would not make it? But you didn't listen to negative people. You heard the report of the Lord. And since you're still here, since you survived, you ought to give God some praise. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? You ought to give him praise. When I was a little boy, we used to have these little toys that we had. You see, children now, everything is digital. All of the games that they play are on some screen somewhere. But when I was a little boy, I had train sets. I had electric race car sets. I had chemistry laboratories. But I also had some little toys that were called Weebles. And the commercial used to say, Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And what I loved about the Weebles is you could kick them over, but they would pop right back up. You could toss them down the floor, and they would pop right back up. You could drop them in the water, but they would pop right back up. And I don't know what you're praising God for, but I come by to tell somebody that I've got a yet praise, because I know that no matter what the enemy does, if I trust in God, I'm gonna get right back up. Do I have a witness today? Won't God make a way for you? Won't he open doors for you? Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow? Won't he be your hope? Hope for tomorrow. You ought to give him praise. 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 I said I wasn't going to hold you alone. Come on, stand on your feet. Stand on.
They messed up. They ain't let us back in the casino again. The Paragon Casino is a spot. Thanksgiving night is the time.
This Thanksgiving night is an old school party you will never forget.
Pack the casino, the old school jam with a new school twist. Thanksgiving night plus the casinos will give you play.
You can't beat that.
Get your tickets now at Styles by Sterling Barbershop.
VJ's Beauty Supply.
Who does your hair in Marksville.
And VIP Cleaner.
Paragon Casino, Marksville, Louisiana. The Mari Showroom. DJ Speedy T. Mr. Bow Bow Bow.
DJ Rob Real and DJ Easy B.
You don't want to miss it. Have your face in the place.
Show love, get love.
Bow. Yeah, I said it, Mr. Bow.
We at the Pleasant Hill.